It's time for Hogue Health Radio, brought to you by Hogue Memorial Hospital Presbyterian, Orange County's top hospital. And now, here's Deborah Howell.
Hi, welcome to the show. This is Melanie Cole filling in today for Deborah Howell on Hogue Health Radio, and my guest is Dr. Stephen I. He's the medical director of Hogue's Chemical Dependency Recovery Center, and we're talking about prescription pill addiction. Welcome to the show, Dr. I.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. So, you know, we hear about alcohol and we hear about cocaine and heroin and, you know, but more in the news lately, we've heard about people saying that OxyContin or morphine, something they were put on for back surgery or neck surgery, all of a sudden now they're addicted to it. Vicodin, whatever it happens to be. Tell us a little bit about prescription drug addiction.
Right. Well, it actually has emerged as one of the biggest problems in the field of addiction medicine behind alcohol at this point. We see more folks at Hogue's Chemical Dependency Recovery Center with prescription pill addiction than we do for street drugs at this point. Prescription pills have been around, obviously, for a long, long time. But with the changes in medicine, the advent of pain as the fifth vital sign, profitability in developing narcotics for prescription drug makers, we've seen just a boom in the availability of prescription pills. One of the things that's really interesting is that in our field, we believed that the internet played a big part of this, and so a study was done around 2007 to 2008 that looked at where are most people getting their prescription pills. And as it turns out, it's actually from their physician. And while the internet is a problem with regards to getting prescription pills in a more clandestine way, most people still get their prescriptions from their own physician. So it's become, as I mentioned, our second biggest source as a substance of abuse. There's many ways that people get into it, and you mentioned chronic pain as one, and certainly it's very easy to become dependent, at least physiologically, on prescription pills.
Now, I want to ask you about that, Dr. Sure. I, for a minute, because the physiological addiction, and we've heard that, you know, you can try a particular street drug one time and become addicted. I had sciatic pain and had to take Vicodin. It was the worst pain I've ever felt. And I got so scared after the first time taking it because I could see. It was the only time in my life I've ever felt that. I could see how easy it is to take that. How easy is it? Can it happen the first, second time you take a prescription drug, physiologically?
Well, you don't become physiologically dependent or addicted the first time you take any substance of abuse. But importantly, a drug like heroin, which is in the same class as the prescription pills like Vicodin and OxyContin and Percocet, about a third of the people that ever try heroin become addicted to it. And interestingly, the next highest category is nicotine. And we know that it's very hard once people start smoking to quit smoking. Alcohol is much lower, maybe closer to 8%. So there's a couple of reasons why prescription pills are so addicting. Number one, the actual substance, which is the opiate, which, you know, if you think about how it works, it produces the absence of physical pain, but it tends to work on our mind and causes an absence of psychic pain. So with that combination, it's very easy to develop dependence. It takes about 3 weeks, really, of using on a regular basis to have some type of physiologic dependence. So someone that takes, let's say, Vicodin for 3 weeks and they're taking 4 to 6 a day, if they were to stop cold turkey, they would notice some withdrawal symptoms. That doesn't mean they have addiction, but they do have a physiologic dependence. And many people fall into that category and they do stop and they do fine. Only about 10% of the people that we treat actually have gone into that realm of addiction. So the vast majority of people that take prescription pills don't develop addiction, but it's easy to develop it. Now, there's another thing that's important too, which is the route of administration. And particularly for young people, they can take it orally, the way most people do, but they'll also smoke it or snort it. And those are quicker routes of administration, and they produce higher rates of addiction. So you've got a combination of a pill, which sounds legitimate. You have some sense of what you're taking. You've got a way to hide it very easily, as opposed to, let's say, cocaine or marijuana. A pill can be taken very easily, and nobody would know. And that's one of the reasons why young people have such a problem with prescription pills, is they can keep a few in their pocket. They go to high school. They go during their break, and they excuse themselves to the bathroom. They bring, you know, some juice or water or whatever. They take a pill, and nobody knows. There's no smell. Their eyes don't become red.
I think that is one of the more scary parts. And because these segments go so fast, Dr. I, speak about treatment a little bit, because it is a little different to treat addiction prescription drugs than it is some of the other alcohol and street drugs that we've been talking about. Speak about treatment a little.
Sure. Well, at our Chemical Dependency Recovery Center, one of the things that we see quite a bit is that people taking these pills can take absolutely colossal dosages and still function. That doesn't mean you want them to be your airline pilot or your surgeon or even the school bus driver, but they can take higher and higher quantities than we've ever seen before. With something like alcohol, you can take so much, but the intoxication effects, the toxic effects of alcohol lead a person to where they just can't drink anymore. But with prescription pills, you can go up and up and up if you go slowly. So the people that we treat and many people require a medical detox where we have medications that we can safely taper them off the narcotics. We can do it in a way where they're going to experience some withdrawal symptoms, but not at all what it's like to try to go cold turkey. And in fact, for many people now, their dependence is so prominent or pervasive that they can't go cold turkey. They would absolutely be miserable. So a key part of what we do is we provide the medical detox. The medical detox, though, is really just the beginning, and the real treatment comes in the form of rehabilitation. And we have various levels of treatment that we offer people, whether it's inpatient or outpatient, and we have treatment that lasts anywhere from 30 up to 90 days. And we know from studies that the longer people stay in treatment, the better chance they have in recovery. And, you know, it's really a similar corollary to diabetes. You know, a person is sick, they need to come in the hospital for diabetes. If you want to look at their rate of, let's say, the treatment or the recovery from diabetes, you would look at, well, how long do they continue to check their blood sugars? How long do they stay on their appropriate diet? How long do they continue with exercise, et cetera, et cetera? So similarly with substance abuse, the longer people stay in treatment, the better chance they have at recovery. And so our program will last up to 90 days. We even have Pills Anonymous, which is a 12-step program where people can go to meetings that are specifically designed for prescription pill addiction, because there's oftentimes a disconnect with, well, I don't really have an alcohol problem, but I have a pill problem, and in fact, I only got on these pills because of a pain issue. And so we want to try to address those issues specifically for prescription pill addiction.
Well, you bring up a good point, Dr. I. If somebody, you know, typically I've heard that if someone has an alcohol addiction or a drug addiction, then they're not allowed to drink, you know, and smoking is iffy at best. But a prescription pill, does that follow that same, so then you'd be considered really drinking would be another outlet toward this or something along those lines? Do they connect at all?
Well, they do, in the sense that when we view treatment and recovery, as in the field of addiction medicine, being abstinent would mean no longer taking the Vicodin, but it would also mean not drinking alcohol or not taking, let's say, Ambien or not smoking pot or something like that, obviously. Because of the principle of cross-addiction, that even if a person isn't alcoholic by definition, they put themselves at risk for becoming alcoholic, but even more importantly, it tends to lower the threshold to going back onto the pills. So that's the one of the issues that we see so often is that someone will have a pill problem. They'll start drinking. They're back on the pills. And even just as frequently, someone has an alcohol problem. They stop drinking, but they go on to pills, and then they end up drinking again.
So there is a cross addiction or a circle of it. Can you tell people where they can get more information?
Well, certainly they could call the Hoag Hospital Chemical Dependency Recovery Center. Our phone is 949-764-5656. That main line gets you through to someone you could talk to, someone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
That's 949-764-5656, and it's the Chemical Dependency Recovery Center at Hoag Hospital. This is Melanie Cole, and we'll be right back.